Welcome to another episode of the Property Nomads podcast. And today we are going to absolutely go deep into systems, property systems. And there's no one better to do that than Richard Van Ommen, who is one of the members of the Katana Group and is also the UK's number one expert in property systems. Richard, I'm going to keep that brief because I don't think people need to know more than that. But give us a brief background about yourself and how the name Katana came about.
Sure. So basically, my background is I'm an engineer. I've been in systems and automation engineering for the best part of 1.5 to 2 decades. I've always been fascinated with the understanding of how things work. So myself and Taro started working together probably somewhere around 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago now, got involved in property together. He already had a portfolio. I was already buying property as well. We decided that we were going to build a portfolio together, which was fascinating, a lot of fun. And as part of doing that, we decided to create the company Katana, as we now know it. That was about 4 years ago, we created this business. And the name, interestingly, for those of you that have seen Taro, and feel free to look up katanatraining.co.uk, Taro, he is my Japanese counterpart. And I've always been fascinated with Japanese culture, primarily because of their insistence to perfect things. I'm fascinated with the art of perfection. And Japanese culture is all about, you know, making things just right and just so. So we, as a mutual decision, we decided that, you know, something along the Japanese culture would be a great way to brand the business. And I aimed for a lot of different names. I went for Samurai and, you know, Shogun and stuff like that. And Taro kept telling me, look, it's cliche. If we go to Japan, you'll be shot. It won't work. So we went with the name Katana. And the whole premise is the Katana is obviously the samurai sword, the sword of the samurai. And for anyone who knows Japanese culture will know that the samurai wears his honor on his sword. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that we created a business that had strong foundations on honor and actually delivering what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it, as opposed to doing what, unfortunately, many other people in the industry don't. So that's sort of the premise. I mean, I can go a little bit more in depth if you'd like, but yeah, that's sort of the premise of where it all came from.
Oh, I think that's fascinating. So having this understanding of where names come from and sort of the reasoning behind them and what that means to yourself, Taro and Katana, I think that's fascinating for people to understand. In terms of the last 4 years then, in general, obviously you've got multiple things, you've written a book, you've got training and, you know, everything going on. So give us a little bit more about the services that Katana can offer, and then we will go into the systems and processes and talk about that.
So, I mean, look, we run, I think at some point we had 9 businesses running at the same time. I mean, we created some, we ran some down. You know, we had a lot of life experience and business experience over the last 4 or 5 years. As part of how we've done things, some mistakes we've made, most certainly, and certainly a lot of lessons we've learned. But we ended up focusing on a few core businesses now, as opposed to running everything. So obviously, we've got our portfolio and portfolios with partners and stuff, and that's, you know, that just keeps ticking by in the background. There's not really a great deal to be done when it comes to buying property once you know the process and the system, you've got a good team around you. The other businesses we focus on is a deal sourcing or a deal finding business where we help people build their portfolios because, I mean, we can find deals like no other, as will become apparent. We've got a property education business, property education and mentorship. So we've got 157 direct one-to-one clients at the minute. We've literally trained tens of thousands of property investors all around the world, you know, speaking on stages in places like Singapore, Hong Kong, Sweden, Switzerland. I remember speaking on stage in front of about 2,500 people in Sweden, which was fascinating, by the way, scary, but fascinating. Had a really good time there. And then, I suppose the final business, which is kind of what the whole foundation of everything we do is the technology. So our technology is, in want of a better term, a deal finder. What it literally does is it pulls the information directly on from online. So all the properties available online, Rightmove, Zoopla, and soon to be on the market, runs valuations using our own valuation tool that we've created, which has been proven to be better than the market leader. And that recently came through. And then runs all the calculations based on whatever the client sets as a deal. Very simply, it then tells them, okay, out of all of these hundreds of thousands of properties on the market, and I think there's about 800,000 at the minute, it will then tell you which of those properties are worth you looking at because you can make a deal out of it. And that's kind of the fundamentals of everything we do. Our currency as Katana literally is deals. I don't know anyone who can find deals as fast as we can. So it's cool.
Awesome stuff. No, definitely. There's a great variety there. And I think it's really cool that people can take different views of properties, such as you can just go and focus on building a portfolio and that's it. Or you can focus on technology, as you say, or you can, you know, go sourcing, do public. I don't think there's, yeah, I always say, as long as you're doing it under sort of the ethical umbrella, so win-win situation, there's no right or wrong in properties, whatever works for you. Property systems, property processes, it's, to an extent, it's like economics. People don't always understand the economics when they're dealing with property, and people don't always understand the systems and processes when dealing with property. Why are property systems and processes vital for running your business?
So it's a really, really important question. So if you consider, if I give you a bit of a metaphor, now I love stories, I love metaphors because they're the best way to deliver a message, as you well know. So if you consider McDonald's, okay, McDonald's is a business. Now, for anybody that's ever worked in McDonald's, you'll know that the first thing you're given is your uniform, and the second thing you get given is your manual. Now, whether you have McDonald's here in the UK, whether you have it in China, whether you have it in America, anywhere you have McDonald's in the world, if it's a standard burger like a Big Mac or anything like that, you'll notice it tastes exactly the same. Okay, and the reason very simply is because they've got a very strong and powerful process and manual. So you have the same amount of relish, the same amount of ketchup, you know, the burger's cooked for the same amount of time, same source of meat typically, you know, the same type of bun, you know, everything is the same. So it tastes the same, smells the same, looks the same. It just is the same. Now, the way in which you can make any business exceptionally successful is to make replicatable results, and then make them not just replicatable, but scalable. So McDonald's has basically created a business that knows how to make burgers. Now, they're not the best burgers in the world, but they're always the same. They're always reliable. So people know what they're going to get. Therefore, they're comfortable going to the same McDonald's all the time, all around the world. Now, it's interesting because, of course, as you well know, McDonald's is not in the burger industry. They do food, okay, but their actual industry is real estate, property. And what they've done is they've created this fascinating system that it works so exceptionally well. And then they sell off essentially part of their franchise. So the owners of said business, that franchise, they're in the burger industry. McDonald's themselves use the money that they are paid for the franchise to build the real estate portfolio. It's a wonderful model. And essentially what we've done is we've applied exactly the same premise, where every system and every process we've built from the get-go, we've built it not just for a simplicity and understanding and replicatability, but we've built it in such a way that it's easily scalable and easily usable by people who have otherwise no previous experience or knowledge on how to do it. So we'll find you, I mean, anyone that speaks to any of our mentees, you'll find that probably 96, 97% of them have never invested in property before working with us. And many of them, although they're building portfolios, there's a lot of information that they might not need because, you know, and they might not have because they don't need it. You know, unfortunately, as you well know, in a lot of the other trainings out there, you do hear a lot of fluffy stuff about what you should learn. But as you well know, the vast majority you will never, ever need. So hopefully that answers. So.
No, it definitely does. So really, without the fundamentals, without the systems and processes, you can create all these sort of paradoxes. And I know from experience, first starting out, that without the very basic, you know, things, I'm just trying to think of a recent example. I don't know how to deal with a council tax bill. A completely different scale. I understand that. How to deal with a council tax bill? Well, this is how I would deal with it. So this is how I deal with it. And then it's imparting that onto someone to say, if this comes through, this is how to deal with it. Create almost like a flow chart. You know, if it says this, do that. If it says that, I'll do that. And the stuff's always going to pop up. And then you just recorrect and refine the processes, don't you? And try and make things as smoother and smoother as you can.
100%. And it's, if you consider, so we basically took everything back to the fundamentals, the basics of investing in property. Now, both myself and Tara had a reasonable amount of experience. But when you start to look at, I remember we had four deals, very early days of myself and Taro, we had four deals going on at exactly the same time. Now, the problem is we found that there's about 130 different steps that you need to take from point of getting your offer accepted all the way through to sale or refinance, which is not insignificant in terms of items you need to complete. And if you miss any of those, it's going to cost you both time, money, effort, energy, and motivation, which is probably the biggest one that people lose. So we essentially started by scaling everything back. And we said, okay, well, why don't we take a look at every process that's needed? So from point of selecting your investment, or initially selecting your strategy, to selecting your area, to finding the right properties, to booking the viewings, to viewing the houses, to making the offers, to analyzing the deals, all the way through to progressing the deals and managing your portfolio. And we said, okay, well, these are our core steps of everything we need to get covered off. Why don't we just break, have that as our initial sequence, and then break that down into individual steps as to how to complete every single one of those tasks. And by doing that, we basically enable people to start to have an oversight of what they need to do. And then we train them on how to carry out every single one of those smaller tasks, which essentially gives people a full oversight and a full overview of everything they need to do to invest in property as a simple tick sheet. Let me do this. Okay, I've done that. Now let me do this. I've done that. Let me do this. And at some point they'll look back and go, well, I've now got 8-9 houses and I don't actually understand what I've done, because I didn't need to, because the process takes care of it. And that, for me, that's the perfect environment. That's the perfect outcome. Because although they understand what they need to understand because they've gone through the process, they haven't had to go and learn everything before they can get started, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that that level of focus as well is really important. If I look back at 4.5 years, as you said, a lot of fluff out there, a lot of wishy-washy stuff, you know, do this strategy, do that, do this, do that, and you end up chasing your tail. Well, if you haven't got the little things sorted out either, then you're chasing your tail about everything else. So yeah, the sort of the cynical part of me looks back at the last 4.5 years and goes, should have just stuck with X, Y, and Z, but everything happens for a reason. It's good that it's good that the mentee feedback is, and I'll hold my hands up, I've got one of the spreadsheets as well, and we followed it and it works an absolute treat. It's everything's laid out as best as it can be. Have you ever had an instance, or in your tens of thousands of people that you've trained, have you ever had an instance of where something hasn't gone quite to plan, or something's happened and they've had to go, well, hang on a minute, Richard, this has happened, how do we sort that out? If that has happened, how have you then rectified that?
So 100%. So look, I mean, the beauty about a system is there's no such thing as perfection. And in life, as you'll know, there's things that will go wrong. And the point is you have so I'll take you back to the mindset and belief that I carry and I teach through our mentees is you have two choices when something happens. You can either be a victim or a victor. I refuse to believe that everyone has to be a victim or anyone has to be a victim. The victim mentality, unfortunately, doesn't solve anything. It literally doesn't benefit anybody at all. And one of the biggest things that we like to impress upon people and work with our students on is ensuring that they move to a victor's mentality. So for anything that happens that isn't quite in alignment, okay, they look for, first of all, a solution. Okay, so how to be able to rectify the issue. And secondly, look at how they can refine any process that they're working within to ensure that that is not something that will happen again. Now, I'm in a very fortunate position that myself and Tyra, we've executed on probably about 200 deals in different ways, shapes, forms, if not 300 or 400, over the past 5 or 6 years, including deal sourcing, as well as buying and selling. We've been engaged in a lot of this process. And as part of doing that, we've definitely refined the systems quite significantly. I mean, if I give you some figures, so right now, over the last 24 months, our existing mentorship base has executed in over 150 deals, which equates to about £11 million in property. Now, the benefit is that every time they go through the process, anything that comes up that isn't quite right within the processes and systems, they raise it to us. We will help them resolve it, and then we put in fail-safes to ensure that it doesn't come up again. So we're now in the position that the processes are pretty rock solid. We've literally had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deals going through it. So it's very rare anything comes up anymore. But yeah, we had a lot of that early days, and that was part of refining the system. Right? That's how you get it to be as good as you get it to be. You have to learn. So,
and this might sound like a rookie question for people that are listening as well, but if you don't, what are the negative impacts of not having the right systems and processes in place?
Oh, I mean, it's cataclysmic, really. So if you consider, if you try and do anything in life, and I'm sure many people will, you know, may or may not have experienced this, where you're trying to do something and you know that you're a capable person, and you're trying to do something and you're really struggling to achieve a result and you feel like you're bashing your head against the wall, but you're seeing other people being successful. Yet, for some reason, you feel frustrated and angry, almost as though you're being cheated or they're lying or there's something that doesn't work in the system. And the reality of it is, all it means is you're working to a different set of rules to what other people are. And either you have a different benchmark of what you see success as, but much more importantly, in all likelihood, you're just going about things in slightly the wrong way. So, I mean, some of the biggest things we tend to find if people aren't using a good process and a good system is they'll either really struggle to find deals, due to many reasons. More often than not, either they've picked a bad strategy for the area they're in, or they have just picked the wrong area overall and doesn't work with the sort of strategy that they want. You know, they struggle to raise finance because they approach it with the wrong mindset and beliefs. And essentially, it makes the whole property journey a non-starter. Now, that in of itself is okay, because as you know, persistence is key. And if you keep pushing, eventually you'll succeed. Irrespective of what it is in life, if you just keep pushing, you will succeed. But what ends up happening is people start to lose motivation, start to lose drive, especially when people around them are saying, oh, you know, you're wasting your time. This isn't working. Why don't you go get a real job? That was my favorite line for the last, you know, best part of a decade. Why don't you go get a real job? And it's interesting, because what ends up happening is it breaks down someone's resolve to a point that where they feel like the property industry doesn't work. And then anyone they speak to, they impress upon them the negative factors and how it doesn't work. And essentially, they're creating a destructive pattern on the people that they affect and touch based on their experiences by essentially not using the right systems, processes, and much more importantly, getting the right help. So
I think just to complement that, that's why I think stoicism is a very important thing to understand and to read. You know, the classic Marcus Aurelius meditations, you've got Seneca and, you know, many others as well, because, you know, belief system, yeah, it's all about belief systems, but I believe that everything happens for a reason. And, you know, things that happen in our lives are objective, but how we react is subjective. So as you said, the victim-victor mentality, I think that's fantastic, is, okay, yeah, something, you get some bad news or you get some news. And, you know, you might get angry, cry or do whatever. And, you know, have that release, emotional release. And then you've got to go back and look at it and go, well, actually, hang on a minute. No matter what the circumstances are, let's have a look at the positives. X, Y, and Z are my favorite one. Not my favorite one, but yes, when, you know, COVID's created all these sort of, you know, different scenarios, different circumstances. And yes, a lot of people have been infected. A lot of people have died. And that's not a nice thing to read. I understand that and so forth. The flip side, especially during early stages of lockdown, just look at the pollution levels around the world, and they dropped off significantly. So think how many people have actually been saved by, so it just depends on your perspective. And I can rub people up the wrong way sometimes, but again, perspective, and yeah, it's a funny thing.
Anything that challenges a person's existing belief is often met with frustration or anger. And I mean, one of the biggest things we always try and work with our mentorship clients on is all around mindset and the ability to open your mind to other perspectives and beliefs. Unfortunately, we get raised throughout our young lives with the imprinted beliefs of our parents and their parents. And therefore, I think it's something that works out as something like 75% of your beliefs are not even your own beliefs. They're the beliefs of your parents and your ancestors. And as part of what we try and do is instill the ability to open your mind and actually see things as they are, as opposed to imprinting an existing belief on them. Now, there's a fascinating book which ties in wonderfully to what you're saying, called Way of the Peaceful Warrior by a chap called Dan Millman. I don't know if you've ever read it. And it's within that book. Now, it's contradictory in some ways to, you know, the drive for success and stuff, because as part of the outcome of the story, it turns out it's all about life is basically empty and meaningless, except for the meaning that you give it. And I think it's wonderful because within that book, they talk about any emotional thing that happens, you basically let it flow and then let it go. You don't hold on to it. You basically let it come gushing out and then you move on and you just evolve and take the lesson and you carry on. And I think it's a perfect analogy or metaphor to how life should actually be lived, as opposed to us affixing all of these negative or concerning beliefs that limit us. We should be looking at, do those beliefs serve us? And if they do, keep them. If they don't, what can we do to improve them and evolve them so that we can improve and evolve as a species and, you know, as a race? I mean, it's otherwise inevitably we would all die, right? It wouldn't work. So we need to evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, why a harsh reality. I think there's always going to be, or there has to be, somewhere inequality, because if everyone was completely homogenous, what's the point in living? It would just be so boring.
So it wouldn't work. It wouldn't function. Sociologically, it wouldn't function. Psychologically, it wouldn't function. You need variance in life for us to be able to evolve. Like it has to happen. And you'll get different races, different creeds, different nationalities, all evolving at different rates. And that's what makes life so fascinating and culture so fascinating, because of how we evolve. I agree.
Moving back onto going back onto systems and sort of belief, you know, belief systems as well. What are the, when you're speaking to people that property virgins, should we say, that's probably a bit of a dodgy term, but I'm just going to say it anyway, property virgins. What are the common mistakes that you see people make when it comes down to trying to implement systems?
One of the bigger problems that tends to come up is people try and implement systems that aren't tried, tested, and proven. And it happens all the time where they say, I've heard this works, let me just do this. You know, I've seen this on a podcast, I've seen this on a video clip, or I've sat in an event and they've said this works. But you don't know if it's been tried, tested, and proven. And for me, the only systems you should ever implement are systems that are proven. Because if they're not proven, then all you could be doing is creating a circumstance in which you are recreating somebody else's failure. So I'd say that's probably one of the biggest things. One of the other items that tends to come up is people create their own systems, which is fine, but there's so much of an easier way to do it. So there's a, especially with us males, unfortunately, as men, we tend to be a little bit more stubborn and stuck in our ways of, look, it's manly to figure your own way out. And to not, you know, and to learn how to do it yourself. But it's actually very, very idiotic, very stupid. And it took me many years to figure this out. I mean, for probably the last 5-6 years, I've had a minimum of 3 mentors throughout different spectrums of what I'm trying to achieve. Because the thing that I realized is, it's one thing me creating my own systems and feeling very alpha masculine about the fact that I've done it. It's another thing being able to leverage somebody else's systems and processes they've created so that I don't have to learn the mistakes they've made. Now, without doubt, mistakes are the best teacher, without doubt whatsoever. What people don't tell you is that after that statement, there's a comma and it says, but it doesn't have to be your mistakes. And that for me, that was a moment of an epiphany where instead of me trying to figure out all of this stuff out on my own, I just leverage other people. Like, why would I put myself through the same strain? It's like running through the same fire and everyone doing the same thing when someone says, well, if you just go around the side, you don't get burned. It's like, well, no, it's just common sense, right? But unfortunately, us men, we're like, we have to do it ourselves. It'll save us money. It'll save us this. It'll save us that. But the one thing it costs you is your most valuable asset, and that's time. And you just can't get that back. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest common mistake is people trying to do this stuff on their own. It's just painful. It's unnecessary. And it's cruel. Like, why punish yourself like that? It really, you know, I've learned enough. Like, stop doing it. Like, just stop doing that. But yeah. Hopefully that answers your question. It's a good question.
I have to, you know, if you mention that and hold my hands up, it's similar things as well. I've always had this sort of element of wanting to have control over every single aspect. And I have to sort of, a daily battle is dealing with the fact that the sort of, I say, the autistic part of me, you know, needs that security to, you know, I need to know X, Y, and Z. So I've got to battle that and go, well, okay, but you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, if that happens and that costs someone £50, I was like, why? Hang on a minute. that's probably not a big deal. You learn from it. And again, it's that belief system. Learn from it, not the end of the world. So, yeah, I've got that battle a lot of the time. And, as you quite rightly say, other people have made many a mistake before. Learn off them, leverage them. And, you'll accelerate your progress more rapidly than if you're just trying to do it yourself.
At the end of the day, it's a battle of ego, right? This is where it tends to come in. Unfortunately, through a lot of life experiences, many of us will learn that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself, right? This is the ego part of us, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to put the same care, love, and attention into delivering something as well as you on your own project, on something you truly love. The important thing to understand, though, is they don't have to. So long as they can deliver 80% of what you want, but they can free up 100% of your time, you're going, well, what's the problem? Like, for me, that's a win-win, right? Somebody does something, they get a reward. You get something, you get a reward. But it's getting beyond the ego of, I need to do this myself, or I'm the only one that can control this. Because once you get past that, everything starts to open up. But it's that little bit, getting past that little bit, is the one that sucks, because it hurts. It punishes you a lot. And again, that's definitely from experience through many years of battling with my own ego on this.
It's a challenge that I think many people listening to this are going to resonate with, Richard, 100%. Talking about, we briefly mentioned about technology, and you've got this drive and desire to, or this thorough enjoyment of how things work. You mentioned briefly about working on some form of app and some technological based things. Can you just go a bit more deep dive into that, and how that's going to help people and yourself?
For sure. So basically, we're creating, for want of a better terms, an end-to-end system or process. Now, we've actually already got it online. It's running with our mentorship students. That process on its own, like I say, has done over 11 million in properties just within the last 2 years. And this is all still part of the beta version. Now, essentially, how the whole process, how the system works, is we're creating something that anybody and everybody who invests in property in the UK will use at least one element of our system, if not the entire thing. And how it will work, I'll give you the basic structure. Obviously, I appreciate a lot of people going to listen to this, and some people may want to recreate it, but it's whether they have, firstly, the capital and the desire to make this happen as much as I am, especially how far gone we are in the process. But in a nutshell, you'll have a fact find, so you input a little bit of information, how you see a deal, is it based on return? Is it based on cash flow? Are you looking for new builds? Like, what you're looking for. And off the back of that, and completing this fact find and saying what you want as a deal, how it looks, what your returns are, so on and so forth, it will then take a look at the entire market in the UK. So we actually hold data for every single property in the UK right now, listed and unlisted. And it will give you information on that and say, these are the best areas based on your investment criteria for you to be looking at. So I'll give you a map of the UK, and it'll just highlight, okay, these are the areas. Then you get to select as the user, well, actually, I want to be looking in the WA area, which is around Warrington, just west of Manchester and east of Liverpool. So you might say, well, I want to look in Warrington. You click on there, and we'll bring up all of your postcode prefixes. You select what you want. And then off the back of that, it'll say, okay, so based on this information, and looking at all the calculations, it'll tell you in there which are the best properties to look at. Now, part of what we've done is we've created machine learning into giving property valuations. So that forms part of the fundamentals. We're also working on artificial intelligence on making an estimate of refurbishment cost based on photos, based on local demographics, based on local refurbishment finishes, based on local price points, local materials lists, and also the write-ups. As well as things like the EPC register and stuff like that, where we can gather information and make an estimate on refurbishments, which continues to refine. That's the beauty of AI. And we'll actually be able to tell you which out of the, 1,500 properties that are within your price bracket in Warrington, which of those are a deal, very simply. Based on your criteria, it'll say, okay, well, here's your 1,500 properties. Out of here, here's 9 that are going to be a deal. And all you have to do is you book it, and then you send out the build team, and the build team will go and confirm it. Now, of course, we have the build team and power team on the platform who work within that area, work within the price points. They will go out, they'll take a look, and they'll confirm the refurbishment price, make sure it works in. They will confirm it back to you. You make your offer, you get the deal agreed. Okay, now that all forms part of the early part of the platform. That's just the deal finding element. Once you've done that, it moves into an ongoing finance base. So anybody looking to get lending, it will actually bring up all of the lending options available to them at any given point based on their personal profile, the property, and their credit file. So it'll actually do all the brokerage work and technically eliminate the need for mortgage brokers. So they have the lending options. They then select whichever one they want, whether that's bridging finance, whether it's a standard mortgage or anything like that. Each individual property in the UK, we've already got an ID. So we've got an identity for every single property in the UK. And we're creating what's called a search property portfolio or passport. So we have all searches live and up to date within there based on a database. This is what we're creating so that you no longer have to wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks for searches. It's all readily available to go. So you'll have finance available ready immediately, and you'll have your searches ready available immediately, and your builder's quote available ready immediately. The only thing you then need to do is get your structural survey or whatever survey you want, and then you progress. We have the deal progression element. So other than looking at the finance, it also moves into essentially like a project manager view of every single phase of the purchase. So you've got your pre-purchase, your post-purchase, which is basically, changing the utilities and stuff, going into refurbishment, refinancing, tenanting, selling, whatever is involved in that type of project. You actually have your deal progression throughout, and it'll guide you and guide your team. So you'll have your relevant team, your solicitors, your brokers, your accountants, your lettings agents, you know, whoever it is that you need in the team in a relevant chat, and they'll have tasks aligned to them where they'll get email alerts to be able to tell them what to do. When you get to a certain point that the property is tenanted, okay, you also have your portfolio management element, which takes a look at all the money in and out for every single property, ties in with your bank account, a little bit like Xero, and will give you a monthly report as well as an annual report on how every property is performing as an overall picture. So you'll know any of your portfolio that's underperforming, that's performing exceptionally well. It'll also be looking at capital growth within the areas, portfolio values, leveraging options, changes in finance options, when your mortgages come to term, when your EPC register is due. Like, it'll basically track and manage the entire portfolio for you as an automated system. And the idea is to use AI within that to make it much more efficient and refined. Okay, and that'll be based on managing lettings agents, you know, managing so they manage the tenants better. Now that's phase one. That's the next build. So we're currently we're going to be kicking off a 2 million raise within the next couple of months to do that. And then once we've built that out, then the idea is to create a national lettings agent. I'm sort of opening up all of our secrets. And then also to marginalize properties. So once you've insulated the owner from the property, marginalize properties into shares. And essentially, we'll own the stocks and shares market in buying and selling property as shares. That's kind of the end game. Now, the model behind that is to eradicate the need for savings accounts and banks. I don't like banks. I don't like how they operate. And I find they can be a little bit draconian in the way in which they work. So instead of people having money in savings accounts per se, they'll have money invested in property for a fixed return on that property. So instead of getting mortgages, people will sell off shares of the house with a fixed share payment. That's the model. So yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. So
that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. I love what you've said, and I think that's looking forward to seeing how that, you know, progresses, and look forward to tracking that. Just going to play devil's advocate. From what you've just said, a lot of people are making an assumption. I shouldn't make an assumption. Someone might listen to this and go, well, yeah, Richard, that all sounds a bit too good to be true. How would you combat that? If someone is new to property and they're not overly familiar, or even if people are familiar, someone might listen to that and go, oh, that just sounds way too good to be true. You're in cuckoo land. How would you combat that?
I do get this a lot. We obviously run a lot of trainings and education, and I've got a lot of the people who are on the fence as to whether they feel working with us is the right choice, saying, look, this feels too good to be true. How does this, how does this work? Now, I mean, obviously, in terms of how we can present the facts, obviously, we've got a heap load of testimonials. We've got, access to the system. We got more deals than are coming out of the woodwork. We demonstrate the stuff within our events. I mean, we do a lot of stuff so people can actually tangibly see how things work. But I suppose in terms of how we're going to be operating it, the idea is to have a small subscription model, so £200-£300 a month, and then just test the system out. So when it's ready, which we're expecting somewhere in the next 12 to 18 months to have the end-to-end version ready, I would just say, just test it out. You know, for £200 a month, if you figure, if you were to buy one deal from somebody else, one source deal, or if you were to pay for your fuel and your accommodations, go do a couple of viewing days, you'd be spending £200-£400 a month anyway. You know, for one deal, you're paying upwards of 2,000 for one source deal. So having a whirl and a system that'll cost you £200-£300 for the month, I'm like, what have you got to lose? You're playing a game in the hundreds of thousands. And if you're too scared to spend £200, then perhaps you're in the wrong game, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that's always something that's made me laugh, is looking at the idea of, you know, cost versus investment. You know, a lot of people will go, well, what's the cost of that? What's the cost of that? If you keep telling yourself what's the cost of it, you're not going to see the benefit of it, because you're automatically thinking it's, you know, a negative because you're looking at it from a cost. In terms of what you said about banks, yeah, love it. Absolutely. I absolutely despise the system. I 100% from, you know, all my research, I despise the system. I love having a good argument with a bank over different things. That's my sort of, you know, small mentality when it comes to those sort of things. But I think it's a British principleness of these things. But yeah, how those systems work, you know, I think sometimes it's good to have an element of cash somewhere. Now, that might be in your loft, I don't care. But yeah, do not rely on the banks or the government to sort of sort you out, because it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, correct. Well, I mean, it's been proven time and time again. But yeah, I mean, coming back to your point that you were saying on the whole cost versus value item, so I always akin it to employee mindset and employer's mindset, so business owner and employee. And you'll find as an employee, they often think in terms of costs. Now, as a business owner or investor, you're looking at, okay, what am I going to get for my money? It's always about the value you get in return. So, you know, I think this is primarily because what you'll tend to find, and obviously this is a bit of a broad generalization, is the employee mindset tends to be a lot more consumerist, and the employer or entrepreneur mindset is much more of an investor mindset, where instead of you just buying a nice car because you want it, you'd be looking at going, okay, so if I were to buy a nice car, what value would I get out of that that would justify my purchase? So it's a very different perspective. And unfortunately, that is probably one of the biggest items on mindset work that we have to work the most on, is to get people to a point of understanding that they are no longer an employer. They're not investing money in the training. They're not investing money in the property. They're investing money in themselves and their future. And looking at the return they get off the back of that, and actually fundamentally understanding that return, is what enables them to be able to take that step, you know, make that leap of faith, and actually do something that changes the socioeconomics of not just them, but their future generations as well, from being employees to being employers, I suppose. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's challenging in itself. For a lot of people, that will be challenging, because that's, as you said, that's changing. For some people, that's changing the whole belief system, which doesn't happen overnight. But again, work on it, and it will happen. Apart from giving out all your secrets about what you've got lined up for the next 12 to 18 months, is there anything else that you think in relation to what you've just discussed that would be useful for people to know?
I often get people say, look, have I missed the boat? Or when's the right time to invest? Or, and I often get this as a conversation. And for me, it's always very simple. The boat comes every day, right? But the fact is, the sooner you get onto a boat, the sooner you get where you want to go. And every time you miss a boat, the only thing that it hurts is you. Now, there's often a lot of procrastination and fearing anxiety about stepping up and, you know, moving forward with the portfolio. But it's a matter of simple fact that the people that have the most wealth and the people that have the most success in life are people that are investing themselves in their future early. Now, I'm not talking about a pension. I'm talking about, like, if you look like the people that bought houses 30, 40, 50 years ago, and the houses have gone up by like 500-700% in that time, if not significantly more. And that's purely because they bought back then. Now, people that sit on the fence and go, oh, I'm just going to wait, or it's not just the right time, and there's always some excuse. All they hurt is themselves. For me, You know, I'm on a mission as part of what I do, which is to, I mean, there's two parts to the mission, but the first one is to help people to stop blindly walking into poverty in their older age, which so many people do. The vast majority of the world, the Western world, they sleepwalk into poverty because they have this expectation that if they work 40, 50 years in a job, they'll leave and they'll be looked after forever. And it just doesn't happen. So, you know, there's that. And then there's the other vision of creating almost a utopian world where people get equal opportunities to achieve the success they want, and get the confidence and assurance that there's somebody there to support them through that, as opposed to sort of feeling like secluded and alone, like this is a hard path. I mean, property is not an easy path, and you'll be able to attest to this. It's not an easy path, but it's and it comes back to a fundamental belief, which is, you know, if you make an easy decision now, you're going to lead a hard life. If you make a hard decision now, you'll lead an easier life. It's as simple as that. If you step up and you take the big decisions, life gets easier. And the more those big decisions you make, the easier your life gets. Whereas the vast majority of people seem to be dumbfounded into making the easy decision of not today, or it's not quite for me, or I don't know if that'll work, and you know, I'm not going to do it. And it's just, I find it sad. I genuinely find it sad.
Yeah, I concur with that. I mean, ultimately, you know, everyone's going to do what they think or feel is right for them. And as we mentioned, there has to be, whether we like it or not, there has to be inequality somewhere around the world. I do agree with that. I do think sometimes it is a challenge to look at your crystal ball and go, well, if I do this now, if I start buying these properties now, you know, what's it going to look like in 20, 30, 40 years? I mean, who knows? You know, it's, well, I say who knows, we could have nuclear war for like, you know, we'll all be wiped out. But if you look at the history of the housing market, as you say, because of inflation and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be absolutely fine. And then it sets yourself up for when people are retiring and relying on state pension, if such a thing exists by then. And you're sat over a property portfolio giving you, let's just say, 5,000 a month. I mean, you're laughing. You should be laughing, pretty much. A bit of a long-winded way of saying I agree.
Well, the irony is people know that property is the best investment. Like it's the most sought after investment, yet actually not the most invested in investment, which is ironic. So people all know that property is the best way to go to be able to look after the future. Everyone knows this intrinsically. And if you don't know that, then, you know, you're obviously learning, but I'd say at least 95% of people know that that's one of the best places to put your money. The reason most people don't do it is because they're scared. And I mean, I get it. Like, fear is okay to have, but there's a difference between feeling fear and allowing that to control you and feeling fear and doing something anyway. And I tend to find, unfortunately, and I don't know whether this is due to media or whatever else, but people are very fear-driven and allow fear to rule their lives as opposed to them leading their lives despite fear. I suppose this is sort of the fundamentals of success, right? You look at any successful person in the world, it all comes down to the same thing. They understand, even if you feel fear, you just do it anyway and you figure your way through it, I suppose.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. You just go crack on at the end of the day. Well, Richard, I think that ties nicely into systems. We would say we've touched upon property systems, which are very, very useful and explain some great things that are coming up. So that's really cool. And then also belief systems. So I love how we've sort of touched both aspects there and brought it together. Obviously, you mentioned some great projects that you're working on and trainings and yourself and so forth. If people want to find out more about yourself and things that are in development, how do they do that?
So if people are looking to just sort of engage and get in touch and start to get to know me and maybe pop along to one of our events, I mean, we run free events and paid events. And of course, mentorship isn't free, it's paid, but it's not expensive. We're actually pretty inexpensive compared to a lot of the market. But I mean, people are welcome to head over to Katana Trainings. It's Katana with a K, so KATANA, katanatraining.co.uk. You can register to any of our free events coming up. I mean, they're super cool. They're lots of fun. So that's one option. People can join us there. We have a website, Katana Sourcing, but primarily it's our clients that are using that, not anyone else. So katanasourcing.co.uk. And then I suppose just be on the lookout for TrueVals, which is the valuation tool. which we're intending on making the market leader within the next half a decade in terms of automated valuation tools using machine learning and artificial intelligence. And then the big system, the deal finder system, which is called Trust Bricks. So TBS, Trust Bricks system, because you can always trust in bricks and mortar. So I suppose that's the best ways to engage or reach out to me, Richard Van Ommen, on LinkedIn or Facebook and, you know, follow what we do. So it's a very exciting time. And I think it's the property industry is ripe for disruption.
Again, I feel like I've sat here for the last 50 minutes and just gone, yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. But I agree with that as well. You've also written a book very briefly. I've also written a book. So how can people find that?
I've written an ebook. I'm in the midst of writing a standard book. So I wrote an ebook just based on business systems and the fundamentals of business systems. Now, I don't really have a place for people to download it, except when they register to our events, they normally get a copy of that book as part of their registration, as our way of saying thanks. But essentially anybody looking to create or run any semblance of business, will have a strong understanding that, you know, business systems are everything. And essentially that ebook demonstrates the structure of business systems and how it works.
Awesome stuff. Again, put a link to a reminder for people on the show notes as well. Well, Richard, it's been great to catch up. I think there's some, you know, you've got some cracking things in the pipeline. I wish you the best of luck with all of that. I'm sure you're going to make a great success of it. And yeah, it'd be awesome to maybe follow up in 12 to 18 months time with maybe a progress update and maybe have a part two.
Would love to, man. Would love to. That sounds amazing. And thank you for having me on the show. It's super cool to hang out and good to see you doing well. And yeah, good to catch up, man. Thanks a lot.
Likewise, all the best.
Cheers, man.